There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you, just as you are.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this special Monday morning trending edition of The Daily Zeitgeist! Jack, that is Miles.
The acoustic. We're loving that right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can actually hear him in person. This is the first time we've recorded in the same room. Actually, we had that one time we recorded in our backyard.
Yeah. But hey, the Lone Star State has brought us together now.
The Lone Star State.
To scream in Austin, Texas.
We're in a hotel room in South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
The activations are out of control.
They're
down here.
Active. So active.
So active. South by Southwest. Man, I'm confused by a lot of it. But
I mean, hey, Tide painted an entire building and that was an activation.
Tide activation. Tide, the laundry detergent, had taken over a whole building down
for what
here.
Reason? We don't know.
We don't know. We didn't investigate.
No.
And if we had, maybe we would have discovered something life changing.
Yeah. But yeah.
Probably.
Right now, right? I just have barbecue stains in my hoodie.
That's right. Well, I am Jack. That is Miles.
Yes.
These are the things that are trending this Monday morning. Actually, first, we do like to let you know a little something going on with us.
Yeah.
What's something we think is overrated, underrated?
Yep.
You want to let's kick off with underrated. Let's kick off with
under. Wow.
this
place is doing fucking wacky things to us.
I know, man.
Okay, under.
It's flipped. Everything's flipped.
Yeah, I hear
here
you.
In Texas. I'm going with women's college hoop.
Yep.
It's obviously it's having a moment, but it's still, I feel like it doesn't have the institutional inertia of like you can't just raise women's basketball and have everyone jump into the conversation.
Right.
I feel like anymore. I've been trying and I just feel like people aren't, maybe I'm trying with the wrong people, but, I don't know. I watch NBA basketball
as we talked about.
I've heard. Miles and Jack got mad.
Mm-hmm.
I even watch men's college basketball every once in a while. I feel like the best product right now is women's college basketball.
Oh yeah. I mean, the NBA is fun, but you sort of like, we're used to how, like what the level is of the NBA.
Right.
But what's happening, I mean, the records that are being broken in the most impossible ways, I think is, it should get people at least interested in what this, tournament season is going to look like. Cause that's going to be fucking wild.
Yeah, like the players stay with their teams for the whole career, you know? Right. Like they don't enter the transfer protocol as often as men's players. So like you have Caitlin Clark in her third season with Iowa. It really kind of feels the coaches have like their unique styles.
Right.
So it kind of feels like men's college hoops in the 90s, but Steph Curry has been transported.
Right.
And is like playing college basketball for some reason.
Dude,
in the 90s.
Even beyond that, like what Caitlin Clark is doing,
yeah.
I was like watching a mixtape of her best blocks. Yeah. And I was like, oh. And then you're like, watch, look at all these, how she's diamond it, no looks, all over the place, shooting from the logo. I also, like, this is a really interesting stat that, like, no player who's in the top 50 for scoring is in the top 10 for assists, and no player who's in the top 50 for assists is in the top 10 for scoring. Caitlin Clark has the scoring record and is number 6 in assists.
That's crazy.
Like, she's it's
insanely
freak
good.
Yeah.
She just knows exactly where people are going. We're seeing like a generational talent now.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we talk about on Boosties that like basketball seems to be progressive, like players get better and better, like noticeably. If you look at like play now versus play 10 years ago in the NBA, it's like a noticeable difference. And I just feel like women's basketball is at a point where it's like, so because so Caitlin Clark, obviously that's the Steph Curry I was referring to, but there's a freshman from USC, Juju Watkins, who just averaged more points than Caitlin Clark did her freshman year. She's like putting up 27 a game. There was a fucking brawl yesterday in game between the best team this season and the defending national champs from last season. And obviously, we don't like to see anyone hurt or suspended or anything.
Well, I mean, but it was, you know, a very violent shove that led to some bench clearing and some audience participation, too.
Yes.
Which was like, wild to see three dudes hop out of the stands, but like to join in as like peacemakers.
Right.
To be like, come on, like don't shove her now. Like it felt like, but still just the energy that was around that moment was pretty wild to watch.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It's if you're not paying attention yet, you really should jump on. This is the time. Yeah. We're headed to the NCAA tournament. The one seeds are, you know, South Carolina coach Dawn Staley, who's kind of like the Coach K, Greg Popovich of this shit.
God MC, yeah.
Caitlin Clark and Iowa, who, Caitlin Clark, I think, has announced that she's going to the WNBA. So this is going to be your last chance to see her play for Iowa. USC and that freshman I mentioned are the number one seed. The defending champ with the coach who like dresses like a character out of like a Mighty Wind or something. like if like the Grand Ole Opry had a fashion week.
Yeah, right.
It's just like so bonkers. They're a two seed, but like they're always dangerous. It's just there's like so many characters. It's so fun right now.
Yeah, and the level of play is just on a completely different dimension. So
yeah.
Get
people
in,
are like
get
shooting from 30 feet. Like it's true.
Dude,
it's
her like
kind of like NBA level.
Caitlin's like logo step backs, like for buzzer beaters that are just it's just wild too to see like a player that, you know, like sort of like how with Steph Curry, you're like, watch like the last shot of the game, it's gonna have to go to Steph and watch he's probably gonna make it. But with Caitlin Clark, it's the exact same way where it's like there's just an inevitability about it that is that's where you start being like, oh, this is when we get into like the superhuman.
Yeah. Miles, what is something you think is underrated?
Hey, this is Miles Gray and something.
Thank you so much for having me.
That I think is underrated as I walk the streets of Austin. A style I have seen on the internet, but it's another thing to see in person on such a frequent basis because I do see this in Orange County, California as well. It's the juxtaposition of super right wing phrase t-shirts with designer like fashions. So I know like it's a
very, like ironic right wing?
No, dude. Like a full on like Gucci track suit, like track pants with Gucci sneakers, but you have like a shirt emblazoned with the Constitution and like muskets on it.
Jeez.
You know, like these rights are
inalienable
or whatever.
That's fucking cool,
dude,
man.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is because I also saw somebody come out the Lululemon store with bags. Like bags. Like this person was fucking just dropping, like was about to be popping tags later, but also had like a fucking like not MAGA, but it's sort of like it was like definitely like this conservative sort of like where's our nation going type thing, but with like designer sunglasses, expensive shoes,
so
it's just interesting to be like, you know, on one hand it's just sort of this devotion. Another person had like a Blue Lives Matter hat on with like expensive activewear.
Wow.
So I just love the desire to be very fashionable, like, and mainstream, but also like insisting that like you think shooting unarmed civilians is also chill.
Right.
But also
they're
like
on
my
board
drift.
With that.
Like, but also know my class and my status. Like it's because like you see people do that kind of stuff, like kind of like I've seen that in LA too, where there's like Biden, but make it fashion. And yeah. it's just like on either side, you're just like, this is such a weird thing where it's like, I got a stunt on you, but right. also you need to know where I'm at politically. Like that's the these are the most important things to me when I step outside.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, that kind of leads into my overrated, which is, I mean, maybe this is like underrated in the sense that the trend is everywhere, but like overrated in the
it's like an eye roll
that everybody's lying, like involved in this dynamic like that. So my overrated is like the bougie boutique aesthetic that I feel like has taken over every like cute gentrified neighborhood.
Oh, like the high-end shopping space?
The high-end shopping space. Like if there's a Lululemon nearby, you're going to have like these other, like a Jenny's ice cream nearby.
An Allbirds.
Yeah, an Allbirds.
It's like over. You got Allbirds.
Yeah. You get there and it's just exactly like, so we're staying in one of these neighborhoods in Austin.
South Congress.
South Congress, right? And it's exactly like two or three different neighborhoods in LA.
Yeah.
It's like the neighborhood. Like I went to college in DC and there was this street that was, you know, had like some, like it had a United Colors of Benetton or whatever, like down like on one corner, but like it also had like a bunch of dive bars and shit. And then when I went back like 20 years later, like all the dive bars have been replaced by like these like boutique-y feeling ice cream places.
And Everlane.
Yeah. Like coffee shops with like, you know, baristas who all look exactly like the baristas in LA. And they like all have the same design aesthetic. They're all meant to feel like a like livable neighborhood where you can just like shop local.
Right.
But they are essentially a deconstructed mall for people who shop at Whole Foods.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and there's also just like, because you see this in LA too, there's like where they, whenever like a new gentrified sort of shopping space goes up, there's either like, they want to sometimes make it look like this place used to be like an industrial building that's been repurposed.
Right. Yeah.
It has brick and exposed steel beams and shit like that. And then like, you're like, when was this built? Like, oh yeah, 4 years ago.
Exactly.
We just like to make, that's like kind of the vibe we're giving people with our consumer monoculture.
Yeah, there's one in LA that's like right by Skid Row.
Oh,
like that,
yeah.
Right by like the downtown area that has like the largest homeless encampment. And it's in a big old industrial warehouse. And it's almost always kind of abandoned, but they're like really trying hard to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I noticed this as far back when I, like, in the late 2000s or, like, no, I guess it was early 2010s when I, like, moved to Columbia, Missouri from New York. And, like, all the coffee shops in this, like, small college town, just, like, everyone looked like the kids in Brooklyn. Like, the design aesthetic, like, the music they played was all identical to, like, Brooklyn.
Right.
There's just, you know, a flattening that has happened. I don't think it's like necessarily bad that people in Columbia want to like have the same taste as people in Brooklyn, but I do think it's like,
it's, I don't know if it's like, it's necessarily consumer driven, more so that the developers are like, just like a hive mind, you know? And that's just kind of like, oh yeah, that's just like what, that's like, that's how shit's supposed to look now.
When you do like, and I feel like we're being sorted by like algorithms, you know? And I think it's probably why we have like our most famous person of all time, maybe right now, like in addition, you know, with Taylor Swift and stuff. I feel like we're all being kind of sorted, and there's this weightlessness of like online commerce that we're all just like end up gravitating towards similar things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the algorithms definitely, they didn't nail it for me. For here, they didn't have a single thing that I like. So algorithms do better.
Yeah, do better algorithms. Yeah, it just all feels like it can't all be the same thing.
Oh, Jack, but it is.
Right.
And because I think like we all have these like signifiers, right, that like help people feel like we've attained a certain level of success or consumer, like at what level we can consume. And it's like, oh, well, we have a Jenny's. Like, that means I'm in this bracket. Oh, we have this store here. That means we're at a certain level because there isn't a Target nearby or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, I just got to say, though, these Allbirds shoes are very comfortable.
Yeah,
I think
you are wearing
very usable. Why I bought four pairs, I don't know. I just wanted to fit in.
You did walk out of the Allbirds with just boxes and boxes.
I was kind
of
competing with the Blue Lives Matter person just to be like, yo, I can, you know, I got money too.
You got to do one for us. They're going to get all those Allbirds. But yeah, Brian, the editor, said America's masterful at flattening cultures into homogenous paste. And yeah, it's just like appropriating different things. And then this feels like it's all just ended up getting turned into a smoothie that looks like a, I don't know. It looks like a Reese Witherspoon.
It sort of feels like AI where like you would be like fashionable high-end shopping space.
Right.
And it would pull up like a Google search and it might reference like buildings in New York that maybe were industrial buildings that have been repurposed. And it's like, okay, that's the look. Now we will put it here. And it's all just sort of like referential in this way.
That, it feels like the line in New York, like that thing where they took over the High Line. Like turned it into a park that's outdoor. And, you know, like some of them are like built into nature. And so there's like these differentiating factors of like, oh, there's this cool hill with like weird looking rocks coming out of it. And then, you know, but everything around it is identical to what you would find in every major city. What's something you think is overrated, Miles?
I think just to kind of keep this sort of serious tone going, thing that I think is overrated are people that fart really loud at the urinal and act like it's not up for commentary.
And act like what?
It's not up for commentary. So there's really not much.
I feel fucking attacked.
There's not much to this, but you know, I was I'm in town. One of my really good friends, Chris, lives out here, and so like we went to a bar, and go to the bathroom, and like the dude next to me in the urinal, dude, he farted so fucking loud. Like he farted like he was trying out for the Olympic fart team. Like it was like it was. I mean, it was to the point where I laughed. I was like, it, you know, whatever.
I mean,
like,
that's got to be what he's looking for at that point.
You'd think, and I get it too. You're peeing, you relax, you like all these muscles begin to relax, then the fart is natural. But this felt like it's like, hey, I'm doing it for laughs.
Yeah.
I fucking laugh. The guy looked over at me like that was supposed to be a private moment between him and his doctor.
Problem, man.
Or something. Yeah. And I was like I didn't say anything, but I was like, okay, like I just finished up, washed my hands and left. But I was just like, I came back, I was like, dude, like when people fart, like it's, you can say something, right? Like, well, I don't see why you can't say anything or at least have a reaction to someone farting really loud. Like, it was a comedic sounding fart.
That's crazy.
If it was like a little, like a tiny one, fine. You know?
Yeah, it just like kind of escapes.
Yeah, chalk it up to like the sonic environment of a men's room.
But this one was like a confetti cannon.
Yeah, dude. Like, it was a fucking announcement. Yeah. It was like if there a town crier was a fart.
A pronouncement. Yeah, all of
100%.
The above.
So, like I said, I think they're up for debate. I think they're up for commentary. I think they're up for analysis.
Yeah.
And we get it. It is a bathroom and that you do have privacy. But like when you're doing it like that, come on. It's also
now,
human to have a reaction.
Now, if they're in the stall, you just let them be, right?
Yeah. If someone's taking a shit, like everyone has had this experience. Yeah. Someone is clearly having some kind of crisis on the toilet,
especially in Austin with like the food that
a lot
they
of
have
brisket,
down here, man.
A lot of brisket, grease, really good for the bowels.
We got here, we immediately had a cup of coffee and then went and had Egyptian barbecue,
which is like so good.
Pounds of lamb.
I'm still thinking about really the lamb belly ribs.
And then, you know, I go to the bathroom and next to Miles and he comes with this passive aggressive take.
What about in the stalls? Huh?
Making me feel
bad.
What
if you're in the stalls?
Yeah. Oh, so I should have been in the stalls then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Stall. That's private. You got a door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I hear some just wild shit going on in there that I'm like, oh man, I've never, like, it's been bad for me, but it's never been like that.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, that's where I have a little bit more. I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah. That is a private moment between you and your God.
Yeah, that's right.
But fart like next to me at the urinal, bro, that's, I'm sorry, you're doing crowd work.
Right. you are kind of like asking.
Hey, where are you from, man? What do you think of that? You know what I mean? Hey, man, my name is Miles. I'm from Los Angeles.
Where are you from?
Shit was wild, bro.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We got a lot to get to. We haven't recorded since the State of the Union. And more importantly, the State of the Union response from the Republicans. And the Oscars obviously happened. So we'll get to all of that right after these messages.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back.
We're back.
Brian, the editor, just wanted to let us all know about a Mono Neon song about farting when you pee.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling of release, but just don't do it next to Miles Gray because he will make fun of you. He will come on the podcast that you host together and call you out.
All right.
Yeah.
I have recordings. I don't need to, I don't need to fucking absolve myself, but if I need to. Whatever.
Texas is a two-party state, so you can't record both parties. Two-party consent. You
can't. It's not a phone call, bro. It's not a phone. I was doing a selfie video in the bathroom. That's what I'm going to tell the court.
And then the phone was blown out of your hand.
I'm suing you for damages.
All right. So the State of the Union happened last Thursday.
Yeah.
So we haven't recorded since then. Overall, feels like the consensus from the Biden part of the speech was that guy kind of nailed it. Joe's got his mojo back.
He's back.
Seemed
he's
like
so
he had
energized.
A lot of energy, was sharp.
I mean, look, he's reading from a teleprompter. I mean, I think the bar is pretty low.
Yeah. He seems so awake. He seems so wide awake.
Dude, I'm telling you, whatever like racehorse shot they gave him, he does better on whatever PEDs he has to take before a speech than like what Trump does, because Trump gets out and he's just like a fucking wreck.
I think Trump is more out of control of his own cycles. I feel like he's, you know, cause he's been on that Ephedrin like mixed with Adderall shit since the 80s. So maybe that means that he's got his like, you know, shit locked in.
You know, his heart marches to a different beat. Really? Some would call it an arrhythmia, probably.
But, fucking wild.
But like, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like afterwards, all the pundits were like, you know, Joe Biden clearly made his case to be president. He's silenced all of the doubters who said he wasn't sharp.
Every single one.
And I'm like, yeah, it was a fine speech for Joe Biden. I think the content of it, whatever, you could go either way, depending on how you view this presidency. But definitely I expected very little and he delivered slightly better than what I expected. So I can't say energetically that is where that speech was.
And energetically every time he like has a news cycle win, regardless of the content of the speech and because of the alternative that we're facing in the 2024 presidential election, I get a sense of relief when people are like, Joe did good. I'm like, my heart gets a little less like balled up into a fist. So
the speech, yeah, there's a, I mean, he, like, a lot of people were like, what is he gonna say in regards to Gaza? He's like, we're gonna build a pier. Like, there was like talk of, you know, building like an emergency pier off the Mediterranean, like off the coast of Gaza for aid. A bit fell a bit short, I think, of what many people are asking for, which is a ceasefire. Although, you know, recently he's getting a little more outwardly now frustrated with Bibi Netanyahu, saying like, you know, I think he's actually causing more harm to Israel than good.
Damn, son.
So
where'd you get those?
Again, not quite what people on, you know, who are screaming for an immediate ceasefire are saying, but, you know, I think that's where like the White House is trying to be like, all right, show him a little bit. Drop a little crumb.
Guy's a turkey.
Like, you're not completely all in on what is happening there on a genocide. But, you know, I think despite that, it's weird. Like, the Republican response to the State of the Union was so bad, I think it almost overshadowed.
It was wild.
Joe Biden's actual speech.
Yeah.
Like, no one, a lot of people are like, yeah, that was great. But all of the coverage now is all on Senator Katie Britt from Alabama.
Which is, I think, part of the problem with how things work is that we need a gaffe. You know, we need something to be fucked up or else there's not going to be a news cycle. It's not like having a better than expected State of the Union is not going to capture the news cycle. But if the Republicans like fuck up the response, that is. So in some ways, I feel like this is the best the Democrats could have hoped for.
Yeah.
Is that, 100%. You know, because him doing better than expected is not going to get like have legs, but like the fact that, you know, Trump was like, I'm gonna be responding live and I'm gonna totally own this motherfucker.
Kiss me on Twitch, bro.
And then first of all, his social platform like collapsed. And then the only thing that he was putting out were like these, what were they, like
snap TikTok filters,
like snap filters,
yeah,
like Biden and Kamala with like big eyes.
Yeah.
Or like hipster, like Coachella hair.
Well, yeah, that, I don't know if that's sort of like, I'm trying to think of the show that specifically, but yeah, they have braided pigtails with ribbons and straw hats.
Yeah.
Very serious. And I'm glad that is that's the best Donald Trump could do was aim a phone at a TV with a snap filter and be like, yeah, you see that?
See that?
They've got little braids.
What about now? You look crazy in this.
Wow. Wow. You ran your little bicycle to the local market to get artisanal bread.
Your lollipop. But yeah, so anyways, the biggest topic of discussion though was the official rebuttal from Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
Yeah.
Handpicked by Mitch McConnell, felt like a self-tape audition for a Hallmark movie set in hell.
Honestly, the Democrats could not have asked for something better than what they did. It was the faux drama in this speech was unbelievable. It honestly felt like if you've been in, like, anyone who's seen someone do like a bad monologue in like high school
acting class.
Yeah. And being like, the way I have to admit, I'm afraid for our families, America.
But she was like, her voice was quaking with emotion. The introduction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
It was just like, crescendo. You like studied something.
She came in like Kramer blowing through the door.
Exactly.
There's no room to go up when you blow through the door like that.
Yes.
And so everything just fell very weird. And it's wild to see how much even the Republicans are like, God, that was so fucking bad.
There is there's a great clip that we will put in the footnotes. That is the end of her speech where she says, may God bless you and may God bless America. And you have, so this is being streamed by some right wing Real America's Voice, where they kind of react to this in real time, and it's three right wing commentators kind of watching it, and as it ends, one of them like has their head in their hands. The other one is like just reading, like just from a script someone has just handed them, but like truly
they're trying to act like they don't know what the fuck is. They're like, oh, fuck.
They look crestfallen yep. is the only yep. way to do it. Like,
we
this
both
is,
landed on the same yeah, word. It's exactly
that's not
it.
Even in the script. We both landed on the same word. Crestfallen is the right word for yeah. it. They're like, well,
I mean,
I'm sure she's a very nice woman.
Right. And but. It's interesting how people are like, oh, yeah, well, you know, like, who is it? A source close to Trump said, quote, no one was surprised that Mitch McConnell's handpicked senator resonated so poorly with the base. I mean, it was all the red meat that Trump is doing.
Yeah.
It's all xenophobic. Yeah. Immigrants are killing you. White people are getting stabbed by non-whites. We need to head for the hills.
Yeah.
And
she took a story from a trafficking victim. That happened, like, this is a pretty well-known story. Like, people knew. I think she kept it anonymous in her speech, but it was...
This woman, Carla Jacinto.
Yes, who had a horrifying experience of being trafficked. She provided these, like, grisly details and said that it happened thanks to Joe Biden's policies. The actual victim she was talking about was from, the story was from 2004.
Yeah. And I think like there was another instance that was referenced that happened in 2008.
Right.
And people pointed that out. And she's like, well, I very, like, she's like Katie Britt trying to be like, I wasn't trying to say that. Like, she said, well, I very clearly said I spoke to a woman who told me about when she was trafficked when she was 12. So I didn't say a teenager. I didn't say a young woman, a grown woman, a woman when she was trafficked when she was 12. And so listening to her story, she's like, she just completely spiraled and yeah. acted like that's not what she did. And I get that rhetorically, she didn't say, and this is because Joe Biden, what she did was a Joe Biden sandwich.
Right.
Evoke Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Then evoke this horrific story and then evoke Joe Biden again.
Yeah.
2004 and 2008, that's George W. Bush time.
Yeah.
And she was also like, she also came out. She's like, dude, people fucking use my experience. Politicians do this all the time. I fucking hate it. I resent the fact that this woman also did this in America. And she's like, also, I wasn't trafficked by the cartels. She's like, I was trafficked by a pimp. It's like, so this, like, all this shit is just being used again right. for her weaponized rhetoric.
Right. But it's scarier to say the cartels because,
of course,
because yeah,
that's what's so. In now. And people right. have seen Sicario and yeah. they're like, oh, yeah. I'm an expert now on drug and human trafficking.
But yeah, regardless of, like, you know, the fact checking of what she said, how she said it, I think resonated with people in a way that was kind of the opposite of as it was intended. The Republicans' reaction to the speech have ranged from calling it unfortunate to deeming it, quote, the stuff of nightmares. One GOP insider said, quote, everyone's fucking losing it. It's one of our biggest disasters ever.
I mean, that's up there.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a few that I might throw up there on that top 10 list.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not a great performance there.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like, it just reeked. It was just so insincere. And obviously most politicians come off as insincere, but this was especially insincere.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of fear mongering.
Yeah. In other news, Neil deGrasse Tyson, people are still sick of his bullshit. He's
nerd guy.
Yeah. It seems like he only ever trends when he makes some like pedantic scientific argument against a popular movie. People get mad. Like when he complained about Gravity, which I think his complaints about Gravity are one of the few complaints that I was like, yeah, kind of.
What was his complaint about Gravity?
I think it was, maybe not. Maybe I'm confusing his complaint with a different one, but just the idea that like they would be close enough to swim, basically space swim to the International Space Station. Whereas like that's just like assuming, you know, space is so much bigger than the surface of the Earth.
Right.
And that you would just happen to be like close to it.
Oh my God. He said the film should be renamed to Zero Gravity or Angular Momentum.
Right.
And he's saying that the latter, quote, the tendency once set rotating to keep rotating unless another form. Yeah. Okay. It's a movie.
Oh, it's
man.
Actually more. It's worse than I thought.
Just relax.
All right. But
relax.
Anyways, this time, also, like, people get mad at this guy who's been accused of sexual misconduct by multiple women for his pedantic movie takes. But,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of weird, but here we are.
Yeah. And now he's got his sights on Dune.
Yes. Although, okay, all right, I just learned about my least favorite take from him. Was he said at Star Wars #The Force Awakens, I'm reminded that red and blue teams cooperate with one another. Rare in American politics.
Oh.
What the fuck is he talking? Like, have you seen that movie?
He's just merely talking that the different, like, jet fighter, like the space fighter, TIE or X-Wing fighter
right.
squadrons are, like, blue and red.
But it's a movie about a radicalized underclass who are forced to mount a violent rebellion in order to gain their fundamental freedoms. And he's like, this is actually a great illustration of why we should have like Joe Biden chilling with Republicans.
Or is this supposed to mean like, or is he talking about the fact that it's because John Boyega's character was a stormtrooper?
Sure.
Like, that's what he means, but like he wasn't, it's not like he, like all the stormtroopers decided like to be like, hey man, we need to be in solidarity with these people.
Yeah. And using that as an excuse, as a reason for bipartisanship seems like really strange.
God.
But yeah, anyways, now he went on Stephen Colbert and complained about the realism in Dune 2, specifically the part where the heroes create vibrations in the sand to call sandworms. According to Tyson, the thumping wouldn't be audible because it's sand.
Oh, okay. Wrapped up with a bow. That's that, folks. Quote,
somebody didn't do the research on that. And Stephen Colbert was like, wait, because that's not how sandworms, a fictional creature, actually behave? And he's like, no, I'm saying you can't thump sand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that true? Because worm experts disagree.
Yeah, worm experts are like the... And there is like a wide open complaint you could have. Like animals can't really grow that big on land because of like what gravity and especially the force of like that much sand around you would sure. do. But his argument actually doesn't work because you could actually play music under a pile of sand and see the resonance.
We're also talking about fucking Dune.
Yeah.
This isn't some like, you know, hyper realistic sci-fi thing where it's like supposedly grounded in our reality.
Yeah. And the sand that he's talking about contains spice, which is a like mystical element that allows people to hallucinate so well that they can navigate through space.
What about that? So what maybe, sayest thou on that yeah, point?
Maybe DeGrasse there's something Tyson. A little bit different about this sand.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't remember. I rewatched Dune recently. I didn't remember how like fucking psychedelic the whole thing is. But
the part that always freaks me out in the first one is when the Harkonnen are like with that one dude, just like just like that weird ceremony. I'm still like, it's weird. I don't honestly get weirded out looking at shit, but the combination of the visuals with the sound, as Denis Villeneuve says, it's true cinema, sound and image.
Yeah,
unsettling.
Couldn't handle that on strong acid, man.
That's why I just can't wait to get my fuck bucket and enjoy Dune 2 later on this week.
Anyways, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk the Oscars and, of course, Kate Middleton conspiracy theories.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Thank you.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back.
We're back.
It was Mother's Day in the UK on Sunday, which I didn't necessarily realize or remember.
What's wrong with them over there?
Yeah, well, do it on the wrong day.
What are you trying to prove?
What, you UK? Think you're better than us? But yeah, so they have a different Mother's Day.
And that's fine.
Yeah. It's obviously worse, but that's whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, because the weather's so nice. You'd love to take your mother out.
Yeah. On like
the middle of March.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Maybe.
Couldn't be us.
Is it like London, like specifically gets better as spring goes along? Like I remember that being true of Ireland. I'm sure it's true of London, but, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you don't think your mothers deserve better, but that's fine. So Kensington Palace, in honor of Mother's Day, released a photo of Kate Middleton hanging out with her kids, supposedly taken by Prince William. Kate Middleton in the picture looks totally alive in defiance of any and all internet conspiracy
totally
theories. Hey, y'all, totally alive, hanging with
very,
the kid.
A very much alive Kate Middleton poses with her children is like the caption.
Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, they thought they really muffed this one because people online were quick to notice a number of weird things about the photo indicating it had been manipulated, which might have just seemed like more tinfoil hattery, except that this led to a truly shocking move from news agencies like the AP to issue a kill notification so that the photo could no longer be used in any manner due to evidence of manipulation, which is kind of a big deal. It makes me think that like there are people at the top of like the AP who are like Kate Middleton truthers.
Right. Really, they're like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was really weird because after it's pointed out, it took like hours for there to be like an explanation.
Yeah.
And her explanation was
very,
like, this is from her official Twitter account. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
C. What's the C for?
Typo?
Yeah.
Maybe Kat, is her full name Catherine with a C? But
no,
she,
but she's Kate with a K.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
Huh. I don't know. Someone help me decipher that, but I mean, there's like so many
It's C because she's serving cunt. She's in
the so,
yeah.
It's just wild to see the number of forensic analyses of this photo. The BBC, like BBC Verify, that's like used to like debunk like straight up misinformation to the whole thing, bringing in all these like experts to understand what happened. Some people are like, well, there are certain things like where if you take a series of photos in rapid succession, there's like some software that'll compose together like the best version of everyone's face. Other people were like, the metadata seems to suggest it was like shot with a Canon lens, and you're like, I don't know, like,
right,
fine, but right, like what are we getting at here?
Yeah,
because it's still just like it's just sort of feeding this whole sort of online shit about like what's happening to her. And again, like we've said in the past, it's like it could be something very normal.
Yeah,
like, you know,
like she had a medical procedure. So like the true like important details of this whole story, she had a medical procedure, was like, I'm going to be out until I think it was later than this, like,
yeah,
and just like, I'm gonna be out of the public eye, like, thank you for respecting my privacy. And everyone's like, respecting your what, bitch?
Your what, fool?
You are the princess and we are one of the most toxic celebrity cultures in the world. And immediately started speculating that she was like dead or divorcing William. But like, I don't know, maybe like whatever medical procedure she had affected her physical appearance and she doesn't want to be sharing photos of herself with the British press, which not always the kindest
No. Yeah. I've not heard great things about the British tabloid press and Royal Watchers.
Yeah.
But hey, it's only just fed the speculation. Man, people are fucking losing it. Like, yeah. The amount of like pictures I've seen with like red circles around the anomalies.
Yeah.
I'm like, but what does that even tell you? Like, does the fact that her daughter's sleeve looks a little like discombobulated, does that mean that she's under duress and that's the secret message, or it's just shitty Photoshop? I don't know. All we have are questions right now.
That's right. We don't know. But yeah, I don't know. We'll stay tuned because that's our job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Oscars happened last night. I got to them very late, but have been reviewing notes from people who watched the whole thing. Oppenheimer won Best Picture, as announced by Al Pacino, who just seemed so confused and just was like, I don't know if the prompter was down, but yeah. He like did not bother to list the nominees and clearly like didn't give a shit. And was just like, I'm going to do Shakespeare.
The winner's Oppenheimer.
And then just was like, and so I'm here to announce the winner. And the winner is in this envelope. And so I'm going to open the envelope. And people are like, no, wait.
And the nominee?
And nope. And then he just opened it and said, my eyes see Oppenheimer. My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Thank you so much, Al.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
And nobody, like, it was just like kind of silent because everyone was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Okay, but what is that? What is on the card?
Yeah.
Because that could be a weird way of like, but the actual winner.
Right.
This is what my eyes see.
The big surprise was that Emma Stone won Best Actress for Poor Things. Lily Gladstone was favored to win after having nabbed the SAG Award last month. I think Gladstone was definitely deserving, would have become the first Indigenous actress to win and arguably gave a better performance in Killers of the Flower Moon. But
at least you got to see John Cena's almost ass.
Yeah.
And balls.
John Cena, baby, presented the Oscar for Best Costume while naked. It seemed like, I don't know, again, I don't know if just the world was in a better mood for some reason the past few days, but like it seemed like the general response was like, fun Oscars, good job, everyone.
I mean, just no, yeah, I don't know. I think I guess the hosting was fine. I just saw like isolated clips.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because only one person used their platform to speak out against what's happening in Gaza. They're like, yeah, pretty good. Everyone else kept it to a pin.
Yeah,
wasn't too much chaos. And yeah, that's I guess it was pretty straightforward. I feel like everyone's just talking about the Ken. I'm Ken.
I'm just Ken.
I'm just Ken. Yes.
Yeah, that was Ryan Gosling gave a bravura performance, singing and dancing to the song "I'm Just Ken." That seems to be like the worst thing you can do for your song's chance of winning the Academy Award is to give a show-stopping performance of that song,
right?
Because then that song promptly loses to something else. So I'm just Eilish. Ken
to the song for Barbie,
right?
Which, that you're Ken,
also Ken same movie, but I'm just Ken lost to Billie Eilish's Barbie song. What was I made for? And the other fun moment, the people seem to be sharing, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito presented an award, but didn't mention twins. And instead they talked about how they've both been beaten up by Batman and like, were like, there he is, and pointed to Michael Keaton. And then Michael Keaton gave a fun performance.
I mean, I think the other controversial one was, they're like, Robert Downey Jr. didn't acknowledge Ke Huy Quan when he got his award.
Yeah.
We have a lot happening. There's so many like micro scandals too.
I got a
like,
lot of tables, man. I don't
Hey man, all right, Robert, you did your thing. Good for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what else comes of this. I mean, there wasn't much coverage. It seemed like, I mean, I heard after the fact about how the like protesters outside like completely fucked up the arrivals for the Oscars.
Yeah. So there were so many protesters asking for ceasefire, that they, like, the arrival times were fucked up. People didn't get there on time. The show started without people, like, being, like, everybody
no
being there.
No butts in the seats.
Yeah. Right. So the fillers were, this was like D-Day for the seat fillers.
Yeah.
Where they were like having to,
they're like, we're finally on.
Fill
we're
so
on.
Many seats. I need you in both of these sections at once.
But I can't. I said at once.
But yeah, I mean, on the subject of Gaza, the Zone of Interest director Jonathan Glazer accepted the award for best international film. I still haven't seen Zone of Interest, but I hear it's like the one of the better films of the year and like incredibly harrowing. And it is, you know, it's about the like a nice idyllic home where the architect of Auschwitz lives with his family right next to the, you know, concentration camp, and is literally about the evils of ignoring a genocide as it unfolds around you. And so in his acceptance speech, he, you know, made reference to the fact that this is a movie that is about right now.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. His wording was sort of, he said, right now we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people, whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack in Gaza. And then some people just sort of like in bad faith are like, oh, they refute their Jewishness.
Right.
And it's like, no, I think what they meant to say is they refute the hijacking and, you know, the of their Jewishness and the ignoring of the Holocaust to perpetuate a narrative.
Right.
But yeah, I can't remember, like the amount of protesters, like they caused people to have to walk up Sunset to get to the theater. And it was, yeah, I mean, it was a lot going on, but at least they'll have their $178,000 gift bags.
Yeah.
To dry
we got
their
the
tears
report
with.
On what's in the gift bags. I always wondered like how it's possible. Cause yeah. So the gift bags are worth about $178,410, just in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, some consolation prize, but a lot of the monetary. So I was always wondering like what that bag looks like. Like,
right.
do you have to have it airlifted out of the,
yeah, right. Is it in a crate?
Right.
That you have to put on a forklift.
But a lot of the monetary value consists of offers for stays in fancy resorts and private shows from a local mentalist.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Private shows from a local mentalist?
The mentalist got interviewed for this and was like, yeah, well, you know, I typically cater to a high-end clientele.
So, yeah.
But...
I mean, it was interesting on Fox. They were like, I was watching Fox this morning and they're like, the gift bags are $178,410. The median household income in the United States, like they're trying to draw like this sort of like class consciousness comparison, but it's merely just to obviously slam the Hollywood elites.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, look at you suddenly being concerned about income. Are you? Or no, only because it's a gift bag that someone who was, you know, cares about trans people or something. You just want to be like, yeah. And like, so they're out of touch. They have a $178,000 gift bag. I've actually been to the place in St. Bart's though.
Yeah.
That they do
it's
have
actually pretty nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
And like, there's no poor people. It's like, you don't, that's what I love about St. Bart's. It's like, you can't be poor and even get near there.
And I wasn't given it by some fancy gift bag.
Yeah.
I was given it by a defense contractor who likes my work on this show and wants me to keep up the quote good work. So
good work. And they tussle my hair.
Yeah. But so the physical gifts are luxury items like a wine fridge.
Jesus. That's still fucking.
But it's also like there, some of the shit is like the stuff you find in like a children's birthday party gift bag, like a Rubik's Cube, black licorice. It's like just.
Dude, that's violence. Giving me black licorice, I would be like, that's disgusting.
It's probably like the most boutique black licorice. Like you could find it on the street where we're recording this podcast
right,
in Austin.
Right.
So cute. So it's like locally sourced black licorice.
I love it. I love it.
But also underwear. Each bag include $86 worth of boxers.
Oh, okay.
A $9 case of poppy soda, $15 Rubik's Cube, $86 worth of boxers, $80 worth of black licorice.
$80 worth of, that's enough.
That's too much black
that's
licorice kinda, or that black licorice better have like some manner of drug in it.
Right.
Better have actual spice from the Dune universe. I better be able to navigate.
Get my fucking dragonfly ship and fuck off out of here.
$500 worth of roses, which like are probably just rotting in that bag right now because it all that shit is unopened. $495 worth of throw pillows. $250 travel duffel. I would take that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's mine.
But a lot of these, the offers for like stays and, you know,
Like luxury trips.
The luxury trips won't be redeemed because they're considered taxable gifts. Which so the Academy stopped issuing gift bags in 2006 because they decided it was like too much of a tax burden to just like drop on these stars. The stars were like, oh man, are you fucking serious?
Oh man. Well, so, God, wouldn't want them to have to pay taxes on that stuff.
Really hard for them.
Yeah. I mean, the American family is only making a fraction, like 1/3 of that. So
Fox News is pissed.
Yep.
All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday morning. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Mm-hmm. Until then, be kind to each other. Mm-hmm. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine.
217.
Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.